I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. This week on Africa Update, we bring you the latest about an attempt to overthrow the government of Chad, plus how approximately 2.5 tons of cocaine were seized off the Liberian coast. For more, we've got Amira Woods. She's co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Hi, Amira.
Hey, Farai. Great to be with you.
Yes, always great to have you on. So let's talk about Chad. Over the weekend, hundreds of armed rebels streamed into the capital in an effort to overthrow the government, and the fighting between rebels and the government forced thousands to flee their homes. So has the fighting died down any?
Well, the fighting has died down some, and there seems to be a stalemate. But really, we have to draw back the lens, because this is a conflict that has been going on for quite some time and may well not yet be resolved.
So who are the rebels, and what is their cause or their rationale?
The key thing here, Farai, is that back in 2005, the current government, the Debe government, actually made a bold move. He changed the constitution so that he would run for a third term. And then the following year, 2006, he held elections, and lo and behold, he won those elections. The opposition then boycotted the elections, saying that they were not free, not fair, and they refused to participate. But yet, Debe essentially won the election and continued with his third term. Now, what has happened is you have had the resentment building up from people uneasy with a Debe government from that time, from back in 2005, and also people concerned that even though Chad is an oil-producing nation, the poverty rate remains abysmal in the country. And you have, again, such dire conditions throughout the country, from a capital city without paved roads to people not really seeing their standard of living improved, even though oil is flowing from their soil. So you have a situation where there is both political and economic discontent. And so the rebel forces, they are an amalgam. There are three forces coming together now. Some were part of the Debe government in the past. You even have an uncle of Debe that is leading one of the factions as well. But I think at the core is the sense of discontent, both because of the political and economic crises within.
All right. So the U.S. and France have both accused neighboring Sudan of masterminding this coup. Here's what the State Department spokesman Sean McCormick said yesterday.
We have gone in directly to very high levels of the Sudanese government to say that if there is any support from the Sudanese government to these rebels, that should end immediately, and that any influence they might have with the rebels, they should use in order to tell them to withdraw. We've done this at the highest level of our embassy in Khartoum, directly into the presidency, as well as to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
So, Amira, why would Sudan want to support the rebels?
Well, there's been a difficult game going on there in that region. Across the border from Sudan is Chad, and you have had a situation where each has supported the rebel factions for the other country. So the rebels from Darfur have sought haven in Chad and have really operated with support from the Chadian government. And the rebels from Chad have also gotten support from the government in Khartoum and have gotten both financial and material backing from Khartoum. So there is this game being play, this brinkmanship really in the region. But we have to also recognize the role of these broader geopolitical actors. Now, the U.S., right now the U.S. gets about 12% to 15% of its oil from Africa. By 2015, it's estimated that the U.S. is going to get about 25% of its oil from Africa, from countries like Chad. So clearly the U.S. has a stake in this game. The U.S. and France have actually gone in to secure oil interests, to secure the interests of big oil companies there in Chad. The largest investment projects are in the African continent are right there in Chad, this oil pipeline that flows from Chad to Cameroon. So there are huge stakes here, and they are stakes that our regional actors are taking a stance on, and also that broader international actors have played a role in. So it is really disconcerting that you see, you know, France right now bringing out troops and actually playing a role in potentially in the fighting that's going on.
I want to move on to Liberia. Over the weekend, 92 barrels of cocaine were seized from a ship off the coast, and we're talking 2.5 tons of cocaine. That's far past the movie Scarface. So according to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, the cocaine would be valued at $95 million U.S. if sold in Spain. So the crew was Ghanaian. The ship was flying the Liberian flag. Is West Africa becoming this stop on the drug trade routes?
Well, Farai, I think the core thing of this story is that the so-called war on terror of the Bush administration that, you know, has actually terrorized communities in Latin America has not worked, you know, and you see now the steady flow of stories like this. It was Senegal and now it's Liberia. There's a steady flow now of these types of instances. So clearly there are ships under Liberian registry. This is one of the many hundreds of thousands of ships, actually, that fly the Liberian flag. The ship was interceded and brought to Liberia. But I think at core is a sense that this approach to tackling this so-called war on terror by the Bush administration has really failed the world.
Is this a question of people in Liberia or surrounding countries consuming the drugs, or this just being a way station?
Well, often these are transshipments. So there will be transshipment. And this happened especially during the time of crises, during times of crises and during times of the Liberian, especially the war in Liberia, but also, you know, during the Charles Taylor time, when there was an increased illicit activity going on throughout the region. So the lack of regulation and the lack of supervision of the seas creates an atmosphere where a lot can happen there at sea. But it's often transshipment where it will be then transported either to the U.S. or to Europe.
Let's talk finally about an investigation by the Liberian government into how 7 children were brought to the U.S. for adoption. What has the president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, said about the case?
Well, I think she has expressed concern and alarm, as was the case when a similar situation happened in Chad, Farai. We're finding that, you know, these stories are popping up in a number of countries in the African context. And clearly there is a broader issue here of the illegal sale of children and human beings, human body parts. I mean, the stories are getting quite vivid now in a sense of complete disregard for the dignity of human beings.
What's the evidence that says that this was illegal?
I think there is an investigation that the Liberian government has launched, and they will begin to put forward evidence and to put forward a case. But the indications are that this was not a sanctioned program, and that it very much was in line with a similar case that happened a few months back in Chad with, you know, a non-governmental organization being completely unmonitored and unauthorized, engaged in really irresponsible activities.
Now, there actually were convictions in that case. We expect there, you know, and I'm not asking you to predict the case, but could there be more instances where Westerners, to use that term, which is, of course, incomplete, may be convicted for taking African children off of the continent?
I think what you're seeing in the case of Liberia is a government that's trying to do the right thing, to be responsible and to secure the interests of its people. And I would suspect that there will be an effort to hold those who are accountable, to bring them to book. Yes.
Amira, thanks so much.
Thank you, Farai.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. She joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.